Two places then this morning, Matthew chapter 7 and Luke chapter number 6. Luke 6, Matthew 7. Got Matthew chapter 7. I'll begin there and then we'll go over to Luke chapter 6. All of you are very familiar this portion of scripture. I want to preach upon this thought. But it was not founded upon the rock. Upon a rock. And most of you know the story of the two houses that was built. One in Matthew, Jesus says, was a wise man that built upon a rock. One was a foolish man that built upon the sand. I was reading where this one subdivision had, they built all these big elaborate homes. You couldn't build without, I think, $200,000 or $300,000 homes. They had all these qualifications upon the homes. And so the place sold out quick because everybody wanted to live in that neighborhood because it was a uptown, ritzy place. And so people had a little money. They went and they flocked there, and soon all the lots were sold and houses were built and had all these fine houses. Then it come a terrible snow one time. Then it melted in the rain, and it froze ice, and then it rained. And then all of a sudden, the houses begin to collapse. One after another, after another, after another. And on the outside, the houses looked beautiful. But the part that could not be seen was the foundation in which it was built upon. They happened to build it. The contractor, finally, they got him to confess that he knew that he built it upon a garbage dump. As the garbage settled, so did the houses. Every one of us are a house builder. We all work off the same materials. We have all basically the same plans. We have the same ambitions. But it's not what kind of house we build. It's not how much we put into our house. It's where we build our house. The part that you cannot see is the most important part. There are people probably sitting here in this building right now. They're sitting there, and their house looks just like everybody else's house. But the part that you can't see is their house is not built upon the rock. And the thing that will determine that is the storms that we will face. We will all face depression at some given time in our lives because it comes with living on this earth. Life is full of sorrows. Everything don't turn out the way we want it to. We will be discouraged at times. We will be disillusioned at times. We'll be disappointed at times. We'll be distressed at times. Somebody said, "Well, preacher, I don't understand. If I'm saved, why am I going through this?" Because we're living here in our flesh in a sinful, evil world. And we face these things. That's storms. Somebody said, "Well, I don't have none of those things in my life." What planet are you living on? Storms are going to come. And yes, the storms are going to come, and what's going to depend upon is, what do you got your house built on? The storms will declare it. Now, let me say this. The greatest storm is going to be when you leave this world. Death, when it finds you, is the latest, greatest enemy, the last enemy we face. If your house is not built upon the rock, can you picture this? Forever and ever 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 being in torments of hell. You say, well, I don't understand. My house looked as good as anybody else's house. Yours might even look better. But it's not what kind of house you built, it's what you built it on. Because when the last greatest storm comes in your life, you better have it on the rock. If it's not on the rock, it's going to be so devastating. Somebody said, well, preacher, you all just try to scare us. No, I'm going to step out of the way and let Jesus do that. Look, if you would, in chapter 7. And notice, if you would, in verse 13 and 14. Jesus is talking about two gates, two ways. He said, enter in a straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and what? Jesus said, the way to hell is wide, broad, and it's very multiplied. The greatest crowd of people is on the road to hell. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. Then in verse 14, he says there is a straight gate and a narrow way that leadeth to life. And what? Few there be that find it. Now listen to me just a moment. Two ways. Two gates. Two roads. You better be on the right one. Better have the right one. No greater mistake you can make. You say, preacher, I just want to be like everybody else. Not a good thing to do. Somebody said, what do I have to do to go to hell? Just stay on the road you're on. See, you got to find the way to heaven. You don't have to do nothing to go to hell. Everybody's going there unless they find the way to heaven. And that is a straight, narrow way. Somebody said, well, you Christians are narrow-minded. Yeah, because we're on a narrow way. Somebody said, well, do you believe that only through Jesus you can be saved? Absolutely. Amen. Well, what if a man's sincere? He's sincerely wrong. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Look on, if you would. Then in verse number 15 through 20, and we're not going to read all this, he talks about two trees or two teachings. False teaching and true teaching. You need to be following the right one. You need to make sure what you believe. Somebody said, well, my preacher, he's just charismatic, and I love him, or I love this and over here. You better go after something besides charismatic. You better search out the truth.
Yes, amen.
It's not up to you to believe what everybody tells you, everybody preaches to you. It's up to you to study, to rightly divide the word of truth. Not only that, but there's not only two teachings. The Bible says in verse 21 through 23, I want to read this, there's two professions. Look, if you would, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many, knows that word many again, will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not what? Prophesied in thy name, and in thy name what? Cast out devils, and in thy name done what? Many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now let me say this. Two types of professions. Now I'm going to say this, and some might get upset, but you can get upset if you want to. Most of the time when you turn TV on, you see all these charismatic preachers. They invite you all down to all these big coliseums and so forth, and they tell you already, oh, come and see the miracles, and come see the prophecy, and come to, did you notice, and cast out devils, we'll be casting out devils. How do they know that? You don't hear them say, come, we're going to preach the gospel and see people get saved. They want you to come see the miracle working. They won't come see you casting out devils. They won't see come see you hear prophecy that's not in the Word of God, that's just specially given to them. You better read this real carefully. You need to stay away from that. You better stay with things that are true. You better know in whom you believe. And what you need to do is this, believe the truth. And what you need to do is understand there's two professions, true one and false one. You better have the right one. It's got to be built upon the rock.
Amen.
There's a lot of people following these. Always been charismatic leaders. Going back, you watch all, even through the Bible, but just in the recent history of America, Jim Jones, David Koresh, on and on and on. All of them's making themselves filthy rich, deceiving. Better be careful. Last but not least, look if you would in verse number 24. That's where we're getting to. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew. Now notice this. Three things happened. Rain. Things that come down from above. Wind, things that come all around us, from all around us. Flood, things that come from below. Now listen to me just a moment. We, while we live here on this earth, we're going to have things that affects us that comes down from above, comes up from below, and things all around us. And so what we need to understand, sometimes God sends things in our life. Sometimes Satan sends things in our life. Sometimes the world all around us is coming at us. And sometimes we feel like Elijah. We feel like we're the only ones left. But God reminded Elijah there were still 7,000 hadn't bowed their knee to Baal. But no song. The Bible says in verse 25, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded what? Upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened to a foolish man, and doeth them not, shall be likened to the foolish man which built his house upon sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so what we need to understand, Jesus is trying to get his cross to us, is this. You better heed, you better understand. Not everybody says, Lord, Lord, is going to go to heaven. Not everybody who looks like they've got a good tree and good house is going to go to heaven. Not everyone who professes to have a good house is going to go to heaven. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, begin reading with me, if you would, in verse 46. He says again, he said, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation upon a rock. And when a flood rose, the stream beat fervently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was what? Founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, and against a stream did beat fervently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Now, let me say this, folks, and I know you're getting a gist of the message. I cannot emphasize how important a foundation is. Now, Chris and I, when we bought the house that we live in, we saw a little crack on the porch. Later on, we came to discover it was all built over a cave, and the foundation continued to crack, and we began to have to come, and we brought somebody in, had to put seven or eight jacks underneath our house to get the foundation where it needed to be and to reform the foundation. It wasn't a very cheap exercise. It was a hard lesson learned. But what we did was we found out the foundation was very, very important. If we left it alone, soon the house would have crumbled. It would have split. And so we had to make a decision to do that and to deal with the issues as it is. Let me ask you this. What's the foundation of your life built upon? Three things I want to give you. One is, storms must be expected. You are going to have issues in your life. I could go here and I could start Brother Junior. He was sharing with me some things in his life just a few minutes ago. I could start with him and we could start right here and go across through here. And I'm sure every one of you could stand up if you wanted to share it, and you could share a lot of things in your life that is giving you a lot of trouble. You could share concerns in your life. You could share things that you are experiencing that you didn't ever think that you would expect. Or maybe some of you have gone through them and some of you are fixing to go through them. Life is full of unexpected things. But folks, you have to expect storms. I've seen people just throw their hands up and quit when a storm comes in their life. Storms is to be expected. Somebody said, well, I've done everything right. Why am I going through this? Because storms are to be expected. They're going to happen. Look here. I was thinking about this, Gary. If the storm came upon Job, and if I set Job here look beside me, not lifting him up no pedestal, but I'll say this, I'd probably shrink a little bit sitting just beside Job. And Job said, woe is me, when he got before God. But listen, if God sent all that, and Job, and he said about Job that he was one that was a perfect man, not perfect without sin, it means that he was a very mature man. He was someone who eschewed evil. He didn't like evil. He prayed. He did all these things. And you say, well, I'm doing them all right. But still, sometimes God sends trials from above. And when you're trying to do everything right, I know whenever we took the church here, we came and we came with the best intentions, and we accepted the call of church, and it's a small place, and Brother Porter's here, he tell you, they didn't offer as much when we came. I think we averaged, what, $12, $13 a week or something like that. It was not for financial gain that we came. But we came, and God began to do things, and things began to happen. But then all of a sudden, I went through one of the greatest trials of my life. I went through, and there's been a couple times in my life that I've gone through the greatest trials of my life when I was living the closest that I ever tried to live. And boy, it caught me by surprise. Even though I should have known it, it caught me by surprise because I should have expected storms to come. But I was of this mindset, God, I'm trying to do everything that you show me and everything I think that you want me to do, and I'm trying to do your will, and I'm trying to serve you, and I'm here, and I'm trying to commit myself, sacrifice these things, give sacrificially and do these things, and bam, you let this happen. And I could not understand. But what I did was I began to just cry out to God. And God gave me a verse, and some of you have heard me talk about it many times, but he gave me Isaiah 40, 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount upon wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. And I began to wait upon the Lord, and Chris will tell you, I went home, and over a period of time, we stuck that verse in every room of our house. Everywhere I went, I saw that verse and I was reminded to wait. I didn't understand how he worked out, but when he worked it out beautifully. But I'll say this, through all my tears and all my pains, when I got through on the other side, I learned some of the greatest lessons I ever had learned. And I'm confident that that storm came from above. The Bible says a trying of your faith is as precious gold. A faith that never gets tried is not much of a faith. Second of all, there's been times when I've faced storms. And it just felt like the devil was just after me in every way I turned. And it seemed like everywhere I turned, he was attacking. But I shouldn't be surprised. He's going to come after us all. He is our enemy. He hates us. He wants to destroy us. If you think being a Christian puts you on a road of happiness and ease and just peaceful living without any challenges from the devil, you don't understand. You better expect some storms. And somebody said, "Well, preacher, I want to get along with the world." The Bible says the world is our enemy. It hates God. And Jesus said, it hated me, it's going to what? You say, "Well, I wanted to hold hands in hands. I was trying to reach out and be a friend of the world. And look what they did to me." And you're surprised? Storms are going to come from the world. So what I want you to understand is, and by the way, the toughest storms to take are self-inflicted storms. Any of you ever had self-inflicted storms? Storms you brought on yourself? I tell you what, sometimes God reminds you of that. You say, "Why, Lord?" And most of the time I don't even ask him, because most of the time I already know why the storm's there. I don't have to ask him why the storm's there. I know. And I know who's responsible. And I don't sit and try to play games with him and blame him for something that I brought on myself. Now, so what I want you to understand is, it doesn't matter what your house looks like. What matters is, what is it built on? If it's built on the rock, the storms may come, but they can't shake it. Oh, you say, "Well, sometimes I have to do some repair." Yes, we have to do repair, but it can't be shaken if it's on the rock. The rock helps us endure. Now you say, "Does that mean, preacher, I'll never have any questions?" No, it does not. Does it mean I'll never have any doubts? No. Does it mean I don't have any pain? No. But the Bible says it's going to rain on the just and the unjust. And somebody said, "Well, I'm going through this storm in my life. I must be saved." You can't judge your life and your salvation by the fact that you've gone through a storm. Everybody goes through the storm. The storm came upon the wise man, and it came upon the foolish man's house both. You know why? They were both built in the same place. They were both built alike. You couldn't tell the difference in them, because the part that you couldn't see was what was hidden. And can I say this? Sometimes you look, you say, "Oh, I feel sorry for so-and-so. They're going through a storm." Well, let me tell you this. If they've got it built up on the rock, they'll survive. Because greater is he that's in you than what? You say, "I just don't see how." That's the magical part of it. We don't see how, but God gets us through it. So number one, I want you to understand, expect storms. But what will matter is what your house built on. Now notice there in Luke chapter 7, he says this. He says that the stream beat fervently upon the house, and in verse 48, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Thank God for the rock. Amen. Second thing is this. The fall in a storm will expose the foundation. Somebody said, does that mean that we will never fall? No, but he'll have ways of getting you back up again. Now, notice here, you say, well, preacher, how do we make sure that we have the right foundation? Look back in your Bibles a moment. Notice this. The Bible says in verse 46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not things which say? Whosoever cometh me and heareth my sayings, and what? Doeth them. He says this is how you make sure you got the right foundation. Number one, you got to hear the word of God. Somebody said, well, I've heard the word of God since I've been a child. Well, that's good, but you got to heed the word of God. It's not enough to just hear it, but you got to heed it. You got to do what it tells you to do. You say, what do you do? Get a true foundation. You got to believe in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith. You got to have faith in what Jesus did upon the cross of Calvary. You say, well, I believe he was. I know you might believe it here, but do you really believe it here? You say, how can I tell? You act upon it. It changes, it exposes, and when you have the rock and you build upon the rock, it will be exposed during storms. It will show you some things. Sometimes you say, maybe it shows me my weak faith. Yes, sometimes it does. You know, sometimes the disciples was caught in a storm with Jesus, and he come out and they wake him because they're all scared and frightened. He comes out, he said, oh, ye a little faith. Peter one time looked at him, he said, increase my faith. Sometimes storm shows us our faith is weak. Many times I've gone through things and God's showed me that my faith was not where it needed to be. I was trusting in my own ability rather than trusting in God. And sometimes when we go through a storm, what we do is this. We want to predict the outcome and what the outcome should be instead of just trusting God for the outcome. We want to see how God's going to make this work. Sometimes we go through things, and sometimes people may unjustly do things against us and may come against us, and we may have all kinds of anger, and we may want to see something bad happen. But sometimes we just need to leave vengeance up to God. He does a much better job dealing with people than we do. And besides that, why do you want to destroy your spirit because of what somebody else has done? You can allow storms to expose your weak faith. Or you can just trust God and say, I don't know what's going to be, but I know this, I know in whom I have believed, and my foundation is sure. I don't know what's going to happen when I come through this. I don't know what repairs I've got to make. But I know where my foundation is. So therefore, my house is not going to be shaken. Yes, I might have to put a few shingles on. My house I live in right now, it's got one corner where every time a storm come through, it used to blow my shingles off. I couldn't get Chris to get up there and put them back for nothing in the world. But finally, I got tired of replacing shingles. I put a metal roof on it. Haven't had any more problem with it. Sometimes what we have to do is we have to change some things in our life. Change some things in our house to endure the storms. We learn some things doesn't stand very well when the storms come, so we have to get those things out. We got to put other things in. But there's some people that they go through a storm and you never see them again the rest of their life. They give up on God. They give up on everything. And some people say, well, old so-and-so, they're saved and they just quit completely. I never see them again. How do you know they're saved? you can't see their foundation. You say, well, their house looked good. Just because their house looks good doesn't mean it's built on a good foundation. Everybody uses the same materials building a house. You can go to wherever you all go to get these clothes. I don't want to name one place. But we can all go to the same place and dress up just alike. But it doesn't do anything to the foundation. Now, so the storms will expose our foundation. And last but not least, I'll give it this and I'll close. The force of the storm, you can't endure it. You say, preacher, some of you are going through some things that it tears my heart out. But can I tell you something? I can tell you a truth. If your foundation is upon the rock, His grace is sufficient. Whatever it is that you're going through, His grace is sufficient to get you through it. You say, oh, preacher, it's easier for you to say you're not going through it. You're absolutely right. But I dare say there's people that's gone through things even worse than what you've gone through. And God's grace has been sufficient for them. Paul figured out, and God told him, he said, grace is sufficient. If you've heeded the word of God, heard the word of God, heeded the word of God, and you've got your foundation built upon the rock, Jesus, I can tell you this. You are able to endure anything. You say, preacher, I'm scared to death when I die. If your house is built upon the rock, it will be fine. You'll not be shaken whenever death finds you. You say, well, I can't even imagine what it'd be like to die. Why don't you wait till you get there and then let God give you the grace you need? Some people spend their whole life dying. Live. When it comes time to die, God will bring you the grace that you need to die. But please listen to me. Whatever you go through, storms are going to be there. God's grace and the foundation will get you through. You can endure it. You say, can you tell me for sure I can get through it? I can promise you, you can get through it. I often go back to Job. When I look at my problems and I look at Job, man, I shrink. Some of you have lost a child. Hard thing to do. Can you imagine losing all your children? Some has lost house, possessions, things. They don't pale to a child. But can you imagine losing everything like that in an instant, in one day? Some of you have gone through some things painful. Can you imagine having boils all over your body that you can't walk, you can't talk, you can't sit, you can't lie, you can't roll over, you can't find any way to have any ease or pain? And he endured it. The Bible talks about the patience of Job. Folks, I want you to know, if it's built upon the rock, you can endure any storm. Now let me say this, and we'll sing, Brother Porter. But if you're here and you're not saved, you think the storms in this life is something? The moment you close your eyes in hell, you open them being in torments. There's nothing, no words I can describe what that's going to be like. Oh, dear friend, don't be foolish. If you hear his word today, respond to it. You say, preacher, I feel like I need to be saved. Well, why don't you come this morning? Yes, would you come? You got to heed the word of God. You got to not only hear it, but you've got to respond to it. And if the Holy Ghost of God is drawing your heart to come, would you step out and come as we sing, Brother Porter? How about this morning? Say, Brother Billy, my house looks like everybody else's, but yes, but you need that foundation. Oh, there's two roads, two ways, two gates, two teachings. There's two trees, two professions. Oh, how about this morning? Would you come? Would you let him have his way this morning? However God may lead you as we sing.